1 John chapter 3 and reading from verse 1 through 16. John the Apostle writes and says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Amen. Let us now pray once again. A loving and eternal God, we thank and praise you this day, this night, for your great grace towards us. We thank you in particular, O Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you that it has been preserved and kept down through the ages, that we have in our own language the Word of God, and that this Word is understandable by us. And Lord, we thank you for that Word. We thank you for the preservation of the Word and for the way that it speaks to our souls even now. We thank you, O Father in heaven, for your many mercies towards us day in and day out. We thank you, O Lord, that because we are your people, we are the sheep of your pasture, and that we are greatly cared for and greatly loved. We thank you for life, for health. We thank you for friends and family. We thank you, O Lord, for the church that we belong to. We thank you, O Lord, for this place and for the way that the gospel is going out from this place to the land around this place. Our Lord, we do pray for the people in Kalinga. We pray, our Lord, for those in surrounding suburbs as well who have heard the gospel through the outreach of this place and elsewhere. Our Lord, we do pray that you would bring people here to hear the word of God week in and week out. We pray for the witness of your people to be powerfully felt in their lives. Our Lord, we rejoice to know that we have a message which has the power to change lives, and therefore we pray, O Lord, for a clarity and a conviction in our own lives that would be a manifest token to those who do not know you. Father in heaven, we thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for being with those who are sick. Be with those who are unwell and draw them to yourself in comfort and grace. O Lord, we pray for a great blessing upon this night, and we pray, O Lord, for the proclamation of the word as we come to it now, and as we particularly come to this passage in the book of 1 John, that you would be pleased to help by your Spirit both the preaching and the hearing of the Word of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The message tonight I've entitled, "The Standard of Love." The Standard of Love. And as before we begin, I'd like to commence by asking a question for you to all think about. What exactly is love? I mean, it's a word that's commonly used. It is a universal word. I cannot even conceive of a nation or a people group which don't have a word for love, and some groups have more than one word for love. In our own language, there are many different definitions that we could think of. But if you actually get out the English dictionary and have a look, you'll find that it goes like this. Love, to have a great attachment to and affection for, or to have a deep desire or longing for, or to have feelings for, or an intense emotion of affection, warmth, fondness and regard towards a person or a thing. So according to the dictionary, love is primarily an issue of the feelings, the emotions, or of feeling warm towards a thing or a person. And that is pretty much, I believe, how the world would understand the word love. Warm, fuzzy, deep feelings towards something or someone. You might have heard the expression, I'm sure you have, having the warm and fuzzy feelings towards someone to express that. But is that all there is to love? Is love just a feeling or a thing close to a feeling? Is love just an emotion? Is love just like saying, I like something or I like you, but in a more intense way? For example, you might say, I like a healthy 3-course meal, but I really love chocolate and ice cream. In today's brief message, I would put to you that we need to understand what love is and what love isn't. I mean, it's pretty important, isn't it, when you think about it? We live in a world where every second popular song you hear on the radio is about falling in love or being in love. If you're young, you want to be in love, and eventually most people in their lives do hear those words, I love you. But what does that mean, the word love? More to the point, what should it mean? Is there something better than the English dictionary definition of love? Well, the English dictionary that I looked at says that it has a list of 2.5 billion words that it uses in its definitions. But I'll put to you that it still doesn't tell me the real definition of love. But there is one place that I know of, one very special place, that does tell us what love is and the real definition of love. That place is the Holy Bible, and specifically today's text, 1 John 3 and verse 16. Now, hopefully you've all got your handout, little handout. You might be wondering what this little picture is. Well, you'll find out shortly. I won't give the game away just yet. But let's see if we can read all this out together. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now that is a wonderful, wonderful verse. It was written by the Apostle John. The Apostle John was one of Jesus' close friends and close disciples. He was actually one of the three disciples who was closest to Jesus. In fact, he was such a very good close friend, the Bible actually calls him and describes him as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, if we really want to find out what love is, I can't think of a better person, therefore, to ask than the Apostle John. John was so close to Jesus that on the night of the Last Supper, the Bible says that he was the one actually sitting closest to Jesus, actually leaning on his breast, so to speak. While most of the other disciples had run away, John actually stays by the Lord during the crucifixion while Jesus was hanging on the cross. And Jesus understands the love that John has for him. And so he actually entrusts his own mother to John. And I can't think of a better example of how much John loved than that. So John was a very trusted disciple. And I believe that he can be trusted by all of us today, here and now, to tell us what love is. This is what he says. God's love sets the standard for all other loves. God's love sets the standard for all other loves. That's why I wish that our dictionaries had this verse as the real definition of love. I would put it to you that you cannot understand what love is. You cannot understand what love is without understanding God's standard of love. Just think about this for a moment. If I asked you right now, right here, right now, to measure out 13 centimetres, how would you do that? Who thinks you would need a ruler? I think most people. I know I certainly would. I'd probably guess about that much, but I'm sure I'd be off slightly at least. If you wanted to know exactly how long 13 centimetres, you would need a ruler, most definitely. Some people would need a ruler more than others, I can see. Without a ruler, you can't measure how long 13 centimetres really are. You probably have a guess. Some people's guess would be better than others, but it would still be just a guess. Unless you got a good, reliable, accurate ruler and measured out that distance exactly. Now, it's a similar thing in the whole issue of weights. Have you ever stopped to think, to analyse and to ask the question, how you would go about measuring a kilogram of sugar if you wanted to buy a kilogram of sugar at the shop? Well, you might say to me, well, that's easy. It's got 1 kilogram printed already for me on the packet. I don't have to go measuring it. I already know. Okay, well, what about the people who make that packet of sugar? How do they arrive at the weight of 1 kilogram? You might say to me, well, that's easy. They just get out a scale and they measure it. Okay, fair enough. Let's think a little bit further. Let's say that you are someone who works in a scale factory, that you actually make the scales that measure other things. How do you measure out a kilogram then? You see, logically and simply, eventually, you have to find something that is a set weight that doesn't change, so it can tell you what exactly 1 kilogram really is. Otherwise, you simply couldn't and wouldn't know how to judge that 1 kilogram. Now, there actually is such a thing in the world, and that's what you see in that picture in front of you. It's called the International Prototype of the Kilogram. The International Prototype of the Kilogram. You can Google it and have a look. Or the IPK for short. The IPK is a piece of metal made from platinum iridium alloy and sits under a double glass bell in the town of Serve. I'm probably pronouncing that incorrectly. The town of Serve in France. Now, this is the prototype for the kilogram. The building that it sits in is actually international territory, officially outside of France, because that standard is so important that it's too important to belong to any one country. That kilogram actually defines weights around the world. Things like pounds and other things are defined by that kilogram. It eventually defines the weight of that packet of sugar that you pick up in the supermarket. So that's how you measure a kilogram. So if you on your own today or tomorrow just decide to change the way a set of scales work, you couldn't do it. The standard has already been set. A calibrated scale judges how heavy things are, whatever you may think beforehand. If you really think about it, that's why this verse is so important when we want to understand what love is. Let's look at it once more, the verse. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So what is the standard of love? It's right here in this text, and it's settled, and it's certain. Love is more than just warm, fuzzy feelings or a good feeling. God didn't just sit on his throne in heaven and have nice, warm feelings towards us sinners on earth. Yes, that would be nice if God did that. But if that's all he did, we would not and we could not be saved from our sins. Imagine the outcry if there was, as we drove here tonight, there was a flashing siren, this huge fire engine drove past. I don't know where they were going. I hope it wasn't around here. But there was probably a fire or some emergency tonight. But imagine the outcry if wherever those firemen were going tonight, if they got to a burning building and this building was on fire and this building is full of people inside who are burning to death. Imagine what the outcry there would be if they just stood there. They stood there and looked at that burning building and they felt these warm feelings towards these people inside of this building. Would that be love? Would that be like God's love? No, of course not. Love means that something is done as well, not just that something is felt. So what did God do to show his love towards sinners like you and I? The verse tells us, doesn't it? Let's read it out, the first sentence of it again. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. This verse tells us that Jesus Christ showed his love by laying down his life for us. Instead of just being like a incompetent fireman who stands outside of a burning building and has warm feelings, Jesus Christ instead was rather like a fireman who sees the burning building and plunges himself into the burning building to rescue people, even though it will cost him his own life. But if you really think about it, the standard of God's love, which this verse tells us about, is even, I would put it to you, deeper than that. It's deeper than that. Now, we might expect a fireman to plunge himself into a burning building to save innocent people trapped inside. You would expect that, wouldn't you? But what about if the people in that burning building, trapped inside that burning building, were actually his enemies? Not just people who weren't friends to him, but people who were his sworn enemies. Would you then expect that fireman to plunge himself into that burning building to rescue those people at the cost of his own life? See, if you think about it like that, you can start to see how different God's standard of love really is to the way that we think about love. We tend, don't we, to think about love as warm, fuzzy feelings, as a good emotion. But Jesus Christ showed his love by laying down his life for guilty sinners who were his enemy. In Romans 5 and verse 8, it says, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, in this world, it's very easy to say, I love you. Very easy. If we think of love as just a feeling, we would just have to trust that that person who is telling you that is telling you the truth, because you can't see feelings, can you? But we can certainly see something else. We can certainly see actions. Someone who is willing to give of themselves for you is someone who obviously really cares for you. And if someone is not just willing to give of themselves, but to give themselves for you, then you cannot really doubt whether they really love you or not, can you? A Christian is someone who has known and received the love of God. He or she has received Christ Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. A question that I'd like for us to ponder this night is this. Do you know that love of God? Do you know that love of God? Let's have a final look at that text once again. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Now notice now what that verse does not say. Notice what it does not say. It doesn't say, by this we know love, because we try hard to be good people. That's what a lot of people hope will get them into heaven, but it's not what this verse says. And the verse doesn't say, this is how we know God's love, because we have warm feelings towards God. That's not what this verse says. And that's just as well too, because if you're anything like me, my feelings come and my feelings go. You can't trust your good feelings about God to get you into heaven. No, you need to trust God's love to get you on the road to heaven and keep you on the road to heaven. God's love was shown in sending his own son to die on the cross for sinners. If you know yourself to be a sinner, then trust him and keep on trusting him to save you. His love is perfect and his love will never fail you and can never fail you. Jesus Christ showed his love by laying down his life on the cross for sinners. Afterwards, he rose from the dead for them. His love was a self-giving love. And that's so different from our standard definition of love, isn't it? Do you have this love, and do you know this love? Look at the verse again. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. By this we know love. Who are the we that John is referring to here? If you read the book of 1 John in its entirety, where this verse comes from, you find out that it is those who walk in the light as God is in the light. It is those who have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. In short, it is those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. We know what love is, not just because we know what the definition of love is, but because we know the one who has loved us. Is that you tonight? Do you know what love is? Not just as a theory, but have you known, have you experienced the love of God? This is why the lives of Christians change so fundamentally after they get converted. The love of God for us is not just a theory, it's not just a good standard that we can read of. It is our life, it's the source of our joy, it's the source of our hope. The love of God expressed in Jesus Christ changes everything. We get a hint, don't we, of the way that our lives should change in the last part of today's verse. John says to believers, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. If we know what the real standard of love is, we can begin to know how to express real love to others. If we are Christians, we serve a God who came to give himself for us. This love sets the standard for all that we do and all that we think. This love gives power also to our witness as we reach out to those who don't know Jesus. I recently read a story about a beautiful Roman girl called Daria, who declared that she would never love anybody until she found someone who loved her so much that he was willing to die for her. Now, Daria heard about the Lord Jesus Christ dying for sinners, and she became a Christian because her heart was won. Do you know and have you experienced that kind of love? You know, if you went to a restaurant and you said to the person as you were sitting in the restaurant, and you said it very clearly, I would like a full cup of water, please. I would like a full cup of water, please. Would you be satisfied if they came back and gave you an empty cup? No, I'm sure you wouldn't. You would say, no, I would like a full cup, please. Full and empty mean different things, don't they? So I would urge you in conclusion to understand, appreciate and experience what the real love of God means, and to make sure that you have received the real love of God through accepting and loving the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen.